British Lyceum. So it was called it was a chaver of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was a great chacham. And he says, you see, he wasn't afraid of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was on a very high level, a level where Moshe Rabbeinu could be considered his rea, his chaver. So pasuk says, "Vayichad Yisrael al kol ha'tova she'osar Hashem li Yisrael." That pasuk alone shows you the greatness of Yisrael, because "Vayichad" means chedva. I mean, chedva is extreme joy. What was the extreme joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved the Klal Yisrael? I mean, he could be recognized mishpat Hashem, but the chedva, I mean, extreme joy, is a strange expression that someone should have a chedva, extreme joy about the fact that other people were saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the pshat is really that, like the Ibn Ezra says, he was on an extremely high level, and he was on a level like David HaMelech says, "Ani korevas alekim litov." That it was a chedva, the greatest joy that man, it's possible for man to be on, to have a hiskarvus lamakom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha extends to him. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha extends to Adam gave him great simcha. Because like the Rambam says, Navas Hashem, when a person is makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he's naturally drawn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And any way which he sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants him his karvos, a love, that brings great chedva. That's a very high philosophical level. The chedva was a philosophical appreciation. And only a person on an extremely high level could have that kind of an experience. You see, otherwise a person could be makir, could stand and say it's an amazing thing. But chedvos is a very special term. It means that the whole person is involved in an extreme joy. What is that chedva? Vani karevas alekim litov. That he was extremely overjoyed that a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows man to be miskarev elov. That's, a person has to be on a very high level of avas Hashem to be able to have that kind of an experience. So vayichad Yisrael really shows the level of Yisrael. That he had a certain experience, a chedva, which is only possible for a person on a very high philosophical level. But what I want to talk about is the two psukim later. Where Yisrael says that Vayomer Yisrael Baruch Hashem Asher Hitzol Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Baruch Hashem. So he prays the Kadosh Baruch Asher Hitzol Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim Miyad Parah Asher Hitzol Eschem Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Then he says, "Ata yadati ki gadol ad Hashem mikol ha'olehim, ki vadovar asher zodu aleihem." Okay, yeah, it's a strange pasuk, expression of pasuk. What does pasuk say? "Ata," it's almost el mole mikra kosaviyef shalomer. What does it mean? "Ata yadati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'olehim." I mean, there's ain't od novado. So the uncle says, "Ka'anya dano are ravad Hashem v'les elo bar mine." So there's no comparative because there's no one that exists besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ain't od muvado. So that's why Targum Unkelus says that the meaning of the pasuk is not ki gadol ad Hashem, that he's greater than other gods, but it means v'les elo bar mine. There is none other besides him. Okay. So the question is, I mean, how does that expression, what is the justification for the expression, the literal expression of the pasuk? I mean, Unkelus is giving you the meaning of the pasuk, but what is the literal words of the pasuk? So the Unkelus goes on, says the Rebbe, "Fisgoma de chashivu mitzroy lemidan yas yisroa beidaninon." The end of the pasuk is equally difficult. Kivadovar asher zodu aleihem. I mean, it's like a cryptic. Say, well, what do you mean, kivadovar asher zodu aleihem? It's like, I mean, what's the meaning of the pasuk? It's like the pasuk doesn't finish. Kivadovar asher zodu aleihem. So, just to answer the first question, I think we spoke about it once before, that what it means is like this, that the Tirgum Unkelus means, so he says, because it was Mida Kenega Mida, Rashi explains. Mida Kenega Mida. So, yeah, and Rashi says also, on Ata Yadati, so Rashi says, Makiro Hayisi L'Sha'ava V'Achshav B'Yoseh. Now even more. What's true, Achshav B'Yoseh? So what he means is like this, that what Unkelus means is that when a person sees the true idea of the Borei Olam, so then the false ideas, which are the ideas of the Avodah Zarah, that are simply projections of the imagination, become clear that they stem from the imagination. You see? That's the pshat. You understand what I mean? As Ata Yadati ki Godol Hashem Mikol Ha'olehim ki Badovar Shazodu Aleihem. It means that the Borei Olam, when he's monish a person, he isn't just monish a person. See, in their fantasies of their gods, their God always makes them victorious. But in Yahadus, that idea itself is erroneous. Which means that the Borei Olam, when he's monish others, is not just monish them to save Klal Yisrael, but he does it mido keneged mido. There's a justice for them also, so that they could learn from their avera. What does mido keneged mido? Mido keneged mido means that the individual has an opportunity to reflect, because he sees in the onesh, he sees a relationship to the cause of the onesh in himself. So therefore he can investigate in himself and be chokev adorish and lomed, and he can gain knowledge. So that's the pshat. So pshat is, that's what Uncle is saying. Ki vadovash azod oleim, what it means, like Rashi says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the true idea of God, is the true idea of the Borei Olam is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just give an onesh to save the one that he favors, that we're the ones that are that are exalted, but everything is with Mishpat Elyon, Kol Derachav Mishpat. And for the Mitzrim, there was a limud and a Musa Haskel for them. So in their onish, they could be makir their avera. There's a chesed Hashem even in the onish. So when the Mitzrim won nenash, it wasn't simply that Klal Yisrael was saved. But it was a recognition of the true Borei Olam, who meets out justice to all his creatures, and if they're deserving of an onesh, in the onesh he's melamed, he teaches them the idea why they're nenash, so they could be chozer b'tshuva, and even if it means be chozer b'tshuva in the last moment, but at least their souls could perceive the emes before they left the world. So this is the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person studies, that's what Tirgum Unkelus was saying, that when a person is makir the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then he sees lumazeh, that the other gods are pure fantasy. The limud and the idea of Yediyas Hashem and understanding the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has an effect on making it clear that the other ideas of God are fantasy. That's what the pasuk means. It's an amazing pasuk. That's what it means. And that's what Rashi means, Makiro Hayisi L'Sha'ava. Doesn't mean that this is the first time that Yisrael recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, he recognized before. But that element in his nature, there was an additional dimension that was added to the recognition. And that was that he was able to see that the other ideas of God are pure fantasy. And they simply stem from the imagination of man. So that's the Yisod. That's the Yisod that Yisrael laid down. A Yisod in a person's being makir the Borei, different dimensions in Hakaras Hashem. So what Yisrael said is that when a person is makir the true idea of the Borei Olam, the true idea of the Adon Olam, the one that judges his creatures, so through that recognition of the true idea, the false idea becomes apparent that it's simply false and it's just catering to a fantasy and it has no reality. That's the pasuk. Ata yadati ki gadol el Hashem mikol ha'olayhim. It means to say that a reflection on the true idea of the Borei Olam shows you that the other ideas, the ideas of Elohim, are pure fantasy and nonsensical. So part of the Avodas Hashem is for a person to not simply to be Makir Hashem, but to uproot from himself all false notions and all imagination that leads to a false idea of God. And that's what Yisrael said, that at that moment when he saw that the concept of the Borei Olam's Mishpat is not simply to save his people, but Kol Derachav Mishpat, and the Mitzrim also are Yitzir Kapov. They're also Bruav. So he's done them, but in a way of Chesed, where they have an opportunity to reflect on their Chatoyim, so that they could be Chozer B'Tshuva, and they could be Makir Esemes, and Makir Mishpat Hashem. That's a different concept. That's a different concept. The concept of the Ode Avodah Zarah is simply a self-satisfying, fictitious, imaginative God, you see, which is simply self-serving. But the concept, the true concept of the Borei Olam, is not in line with any fantasy, you see, but it's in line with reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shofet Emes, the Melech HaMishpat. Then when a person sees the true idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it becomes apparent that the other ideas are just self-serving projections of the imagination. Yisrael says, that's what he says, Ati yadati ki gadol el Hashem mikol ha'olam. Ki vadavar she'azadu alehem. So it's not just enough for a person to be makir the Borei Olam philosophically. Of course, that's essential. But a person must also be able to uproot from himself all leanings and projections and imaginative causes that are part of human part of the human imagination, and recognize them clearly for what they are and understand them. So Yisrael received attained a different dimension of Hakaras Hashem. That's what that's what Tirgum Unkelus is saying. So yes.
What pushed him over the edge?
It's a good question. It's a great question. But the Rashi says in the beginning, Vayishma Yisrael. So Rashi says, Mashmu Hashem Ovah. So what does it mean? What does Rashi mean? It's Chazal, Gemara. So Rashi quoting Gemara's Vachem. But what Rashi means is that apparently, what does it mean? Mashmu Hashem Ovah. Vayishma Yisrael the Makis. What's the question? Mashmu Hashem Ovah and Rashi. Vayishma Yisrael. He heard about Makis. Everybody's saying the whole world heard about it. So what's the question? But really, if you look into Chazal, you see they were saying something deeper. That apparently they understood in Vayishma Yisrael not that he heard, but that he understood. Vayishma. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So that's what Chazal says. Vayishma Yisrael doesn't mean that he heard. Of course, he wouldn't have to tell you that he heard about it. I mean, that's everybody heard about it. But Vayishma Yisrael means he was moved There was a new understanding. And that's why Rashi is Mashmu Ashamova. Like, what was this thing that gave him this understanding? It doesn't mention the Makkos. It says Kriyas Yamsuf and Mechamas Amalek. But Kriyas, the reason why, let's take Kriyas Yamsuf, because it seems Unkelus is going with Kriyas Yamsuf. Because it says Ki Vadavar Shezodu Aleim. So it means to say, because Klal Yisrael, if you remember, where the Pasuk and Pesukim and B'Shalach described, Klal Yisrael were going out already, and they could have gone straight out. But then they received the Tzivoy Hashem to go back. And they went back in the opposite direction, and they were Chonim Alayom. So the whole Yamsuf really could have been avoided. They could have gone straight out around the other way, to the north. But they moved back, and then they were Chonim Alayom, and then they were stuck, and then they had to have Kriyas Yamsuf. So Kriyas Yamsuf was really done, why? For two reasons. For Klal Yisrael, of course, and the Yodu Mitzrayim, Kenir Hashem, Bikavdi Befar Baruch Bar Farashav. So, and that's straight through, and the Rambam points it out. The Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paro was a philosophical debate. The Yodu Mitzrayim Kenir Hashem is Leman Teda Kenir Hashem Bekerav Haaretz. The whole thing was to show that Hashgachas Hashem goes all the way throughout the creation, even to Adam, to man, and to every aspect of man's activities. So that's what Unkelus is saying. That ki badovar shezodu aleihem means they were really out. So why did they have to come back in order to have Kriyas Yamsuf? And what was Kriyas Yamsuf? Kriyas Yamsuf was mida, to show the mitzvah mida keneged mida. And ki vadova shezod olayim, because they threw the Yalde Yisrael into the Yor. They threw the Yalde Yisrael into the Yor. So and Ramban Agav Orcha mentions very nicely. He said, why was that such an important thing? That they threw Yalde, I mean, okay, that happened once, but the Shibud in Mitzrayim was much more extensive. But Ramban points out very beautifully that Shibud in Mitzrayim was understandable. But, okay, so you're Meshabit people, you know what I mean? There's a gain, or according to the Ramban, they knew the Tzivui, whatever. I mean, that's a separate parsha in itself. The Rambam and the well-known Rambam and the Ravid, and the Ramban talks about it in Bereishis. Ramban holds that the Ramban holds, by the way, that the Rambam's answer is the correct one. Because the Rambam, the question on Bechira. So the Rambam says, Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos, and says in the Yad. He says that just because prediction doesn't mean, the Rambam says it wasn't on Ishya Dua. So, which means to say that in order to be coercion of the will, it must be a particular phenomenon in a particular person. But a general statement is simply nevuah of la'osid, of what's going to happen after the free will of the individual. It's a different concept. So the Ramban accepts the Rambam's answer logically, but the Ramban in Bereishis, he goes in a different direction because he holds that the tzivu was known. A separate prophet. But anyways, a separate thing. But getting back to this point, to your point, that's what the Unkelus means. Tigum Unkelus. Because he means Vayishma Yisro means Ezeshmo Shamova Kriyas Yamsuf. And what was the purpose of going back? Was to show the Mitzrim, to teach them a limud of Mido Keneged Mido. And it means the avdus, okay? So the avdus, whatever, it was beneficial for them. But ki badovar shezodu aleihem means, but to destroy them, that was really achzorius. That was pure achzorius. So badovar. So that's why they deserve to be destroyed in the yamsuf and mido. The mido keneged mido was against their primary evil. The Ramban also elaborates on that as well. Ramban says that the real affair of the Mitzrim was the Hovan of Schach Malo. It wasn't the Shibud so much. The Ramban holds it wasn't the Shibud because he holds that they knew the Tzivu. Without that, because the Shibud is a natural thing. I mean, they're doing it for their own gain, and they became a Vodim, And that's something which is which wasn't really the avant-garde, but the avant-garde was the viciousness to simply destroy them. And it was a guise. The underlying evil was the evil of their will, which they desired to destroy them. They covered it up, and power covered it up. It was really a desire for destruction. So kivado, that's where Ramban learns kivado v'shezod olam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dan them also midah k'neged midah in Ramban, but because of the fact that they were deserving of kliya, not because of the shibud. The shibud was wasn't machayev in that, because that was something which was understandable. I mean, they came to the land, they became avadim. It wasn't right. But they were really nodun because of their evil desire, which they tried to hide, which was to destroy Klal Yisrael. That's why Kol Habein Hayilor Hayara Tashlichu. That's what the uncle is saying. That was the thing. That was inexcusable, just to destroy them. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Klal Yisrael back towards Mitzrayim, and then they were Chonim al Hayam, and the only escape route was across the Yam, and that was all done because they could have gone out already straight without being near the Yam. So they had to go back, and they found themselves near the Yam, and the reason was in order to demonstrate to the Mitzrim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Mishpat is a Malamed. That's the idea. That's the true idea of the Borei Olam. So that's what Yisro was saying, which is you see what the Ibn Ezra is a great chacham. He recognized that Yedias Hashem is on two planes. It's on the philosophical plane, that's essential, but also it is necessary for a person to recognize the fantasy gods and the fantasy projections and where they stem from and to uproot them. And that was Yisro. Ata Yadati, the Yedias Hashem. When a person understands the tree of the Yedias Hashem, so then he recognizes that the other ideas are pure imagination. And ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'olayim. And that's a separate idea, a deep limud from Yisrael. That really the Yedias Hashem demands an understanding of the self and an uprooting of the false imaginative projections of man. And that's a science in itself. That's a knowledge in itself. That's what Rashi means. Ata yadati makiro yisi l'shaavar. I knew philosophically HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I knew before. But now, O Joseph, now a new dimension has unfolded in myself, where I have a deeper understanding of the imagination and how Avodah Zarah works and how Avodah Zarah is false and where it stems from. That was Yisro's statement. That's a great chacham. That's a great chacham. That's a deep idea, deep dimension. Yes.
So that the point that Yisro started from is that he was not related. In other words, he was Malamed. His brother was Malamed. Who was he Malamed? The ones that had
the Mitzrayim.
The Jews died. They died in the Yamsuf. So
it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because the thing is that even if an individual in his last moment has a true idea, that's also something worthwhile. That's also something worthwhile. So even though they were nidun lamisa, I mean, what is hayotze lehareg? Hayotze lehareg is a mission Sanhedrin. Hayotze lehareg, yasei tehei misasi kapar lechalav anasai. Tehei misasi, that is something. That's a level. That's a level. I don't know about. We don't know about. But there's a certain the Yedias Amos is something of value. Yes.
The person who would to see how.
And I don't know. Every mitzvah is not identical, anyways. Because I mean, that's a very. I mean, you have to remove yourself from certain notions. I mean, they're notions, infantile notions. I mean, you see the other mitzvah k'nir Hashem. And you see, it was effective. It was effective. V'chamushim olav neisel v'gamer rav olaitam. So certain mitzvahs became part of Klal Yisrael. So you see that. This is not a private club here. This is a. You have to advance to a higher level. This is this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're Bruov. And if a Mitzri is still Bruov shall mark. I mean, a different level of Mitzrim. Different level of Mitzrim. Olam Haba, I mean, that's a ridiculous question. Okay. Yes.
Without having a true idea of God, a person can still study and see how level of Zara is imaginative.
That's correct. That's correct. But that's correct. I'm not going into what the correct method is. I mean, there is what Yisro was saying was something that occurred to him, and he took Yisro saying something that occurred to him, and he saw a beautiful idea that he availed himself of the knowledge through that idea. But of course, we don't. It would be ridiculous. Yisro wasn't saying that's the only way to do it. I mean, Kriyas Yamsuf is a one-time thing. But Yisro was saying that through that event, that through Hakaras Hashem Be'emes, it gives another dimension beyond the philosophical, but it shows the falsehood of the false gods. You see, that's what Yisro said. And that is a big avoda. That is a big avoda. That a person's emuna is not complete. That's Rashi. Makiro yisi kisha ovar. Philosophically, he was makir. But Yisro laid down a big yisod. And that is that a person's emuna is not complete until he eradicates, through knowledge and understanding, the false ideas of God. Avodah Zarah, that's something which is in man, and it's the Avodah Sa'odam to remove it. And that's what he said. That's what Yisro pointed out. That when a person sees the Borei Olam, then he sees that the other ideas are pure fantasy. And then he's in a position to even go further and to remove and eradicate all those elements from his nature. That was Yisro's statement. Okay, that's a very significant statement. That's what I said. I mean, if anything shows you that Yisro, the two psukim show you the greatness of Yisro, what an odom gadol he was, what a level he was on. Okay. Right. Yes.
Would you say that this idea of b'chol derachav mishpat was part of the nevuah that Avram got with Brisbane of Sarm?
V'gamas ha'goyesh yavod adon nochi?
And the second one that Dor Ravina.
You're right. That's correct. Okay. Yeah.
What about Amalek?
Oh, you mean the second shot? Amalek? separate shot. So it's a machlekes. I'm going with Uncles, because Uncles appears to be Kriyas Yamsuf, because he says, Ki Badavash is other lamb. It's a good question, but I want to do something else today, okay?
Really?
Yes.
Right, what you're saying is because the Torah points out with Nei Baal Tzfon, that's where they attack them by the Yamsuf.
Yeah, by Baal Tzfon.
Teach them
that's
that, right. You know, that the false ideas.
That's correct. That's right, yeah. That's correct. Okay. But what I want to do is I'd like to... this is the second part of the pasuk. That's the first part of the pasuk. Atah yidat gadol Hashem mikol aleihem. But the second part of the pasuk, ki vadovar shezodu aleihem, is a difficult pshat. I mean, what does it mean, ki vadovar shezodu aleihem? So, I think, my idea is that according to the Rambam, it has a very interesting interpretation. I don't see the Rambam doesn't say it, but I think it would be Yotzei Midvarov, this idea. The Rambam is in Pirush Mishnayos, okay? Yeah, the Rambam explains. Yeah. the Rambam's Perek Shmini, the Perek Hashmini. So it says, "Vine nishal lanu dovar echad levaro binyan zeh." And Shmona Prakam. And then he goes into what I just mentioned before. He says, because first he talks about the fact that people believe that if a stone falls, that it's God's will that the stone shall fall. And he explains that it is God's will, but not in particular. It's God's will because of the laws that God implanted in Sheshem Abrashis. But not every stone that falls is God's will in particular. Rambam explains. So he says, And then he says people think medama b'nei adam that akara, except for the he says and man's will is free, man's will is free, and he's unique. And then he says that there are many psukim that people think that say to the contrary. And he explains, like I said before, that the only way where you say Kadosh Baruch Hu is gozer, so it doesn't impede free will unless you say it's a particular phenomenon. And nowhere does it say particular phenomenon, so it's not an impeding of the free will. It's simply a notification of what's going to happen, la'asit, which is after the people exercise their free will. Okay. So now he says like this. He says, Aval Omro, he says, V'chizakti eslef paro, v'achakach ha'anisho v'hishmido. He says, but there's one problem with free will, and that is the problem with paro. Okay, hinei ze makom sheyesh ledaber bo v'yusag bo yisod gudel, the Ram says. V'lochein, he says, is bonein b'dvorai b'inyin ze. Thinking carefully in my words, v'sim libcho bo. Put your heart into it. V'hashvei, your mind, he means. V'hashveihu ledvorai, v'hashveihu ledivrei kol mi shediba bo. He says, compare it to anybody else that spoke about this point. Uvachar la'atzmacho azatov. And choose the good for yourself. Okay. And then he goes on. He says, V'hu, he says, Sheparo v'avodov ilu lo hoyo lohem ovon elozeh shlo shilcho es Yisrael hoyo adover kosher b'lisafik. He says, if that was their only chet, it would be very difficult. He says, Sherei kvar monom.
Which
case
are you talking about?
That they didn't send the Jews out. Okay. If they only had this avon, it would be impossible to answer him. So God sends a shaliach to ask Paro to send out Klal Yisrael, the Jews, and he's coerced not to send them out. And then God punishes him because he didn't send them out. That would definitely be crooked. The sosa l'chol mashik damnu. And it would be a contradiction to everything that we said, that we prefaced. El she'ein hadavar came. He says, why? It's not so. Ki paro v'avodav himru b'ritzonam b'li hechrif ala onus. They did evil without any coercion. They reyu l'geirim eshehoyu ba'artzem. They did evil to those strangers that were in their land. V'asu lohem ovel. And they committed evil. Ovel muchlat. He says on what they did to the Jews from the very beginning, that there was no coercion and that they did it of their own free will. He says, but God's onesh was that he prevented them from doing tshuva. Kedei sheyovi aleihem min ha'onesh ma shechiyev tzidko. Shezeh onsham. He says, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu punished them for that. And part of the punishment was that he prevented them from doing tshuva. Why? Kedei sheyovi aleihem min ha'onesh ma shechiyev tzidko. Which means that according to God's justice, this was necessary. Shezel onshem, that this should be their onesh. He's going to explain. Umini osam min atshuva hu shelo yishalchom. Okay, and that was the minia. that they shouldn't send them out. Bir lo Hashem ezev odio kilu rotzel otziem bilvad hayikvar ma'abda hu vavodo v'hayu yotzim. Says, because God wouldn't just take Klal Yisrael out, he could have taken them out. But he wanted to give them an onesh, give them a just onesh for the evil that they had committed before. Can't give them an onesh if they chaz b'tshuva. They kept the Jews. He says, "V'ein b'kach zoros." He says, "There's nothing strange about this." In Nomar, "Ki yesh Hashem manish es adam b'kach shelo yoshuv, v'lo yashir lo habechira b'tshuva." There's nothing strange about that. It sounds fine. It does sound a little strange that this is the onish that the person can't be chozer b'tshuva. So Lafi Shahu Yisala Yodeya Avonos Umachayeves Chachmoso Vitzitko Shir Onesh. Because God knows the Aver, he knows meet out the exact proper Onesh. Vine Yeshu Manish Bolomaze Bovad. Sometimes the Onesh is only in this world. Vine Yeshu Manish Boloma Bobilvad. Sometimes only Olam Haba. Vyeshu Manish Mishne Olamos Yachad. Depends on the shofet tzedek knows exactly what precisely the owner should be. The gamba oncho bolam azem mishtana yeshem manish beguf or b'momon or b'shneim yachad k'moshem avatul mitzvos nuas ha'odom shiyeh bechiri bohen al derech onish gan shiyeh avatul es yadom milifol. Okay, it goes through different cases where by Yeravam he couldn't move his arm. Oeno miliros. He gives different examples. He says kach meval menu rotzon atshuva shelo yisoro lo klal. The Yovad Becheto. Okay, the Yovad Becheto. I mean, of course, the question that you can't get out of your mind is, yeah, but if he would do tshuva, he wouldn't have this right. Yeah. So, what kind of? It's not analogous. Okay, it's very a question that just keeps as much as the Rambam keeps writing. I mean, the question isn't removed from your mind when you read it. I mean. Yeah, onish is something else I understand, but this is an onish in the very thing which I can become a tzaddik. So he says, the goma. He says, v'yanish esachot kvi erech cheto, v'goma loosah chesed kvi erech chazdo. V'im tam madu adarsh menu shloach eses al. That it's a very good question. Nobody asks. He says, in other words, like this. He says, v'im tam madu adarsh mimenu l'shalach eses al pam achar pam bo. Bizman shehu manua mikach? Yeah, that's a good question. The question is that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu was machbid leif paro, so it shouldn't be necessary anymore to send Moshe Rabbeinu again and again. I mean, what's the purpose of that? It's like he's talking to a wall. You know, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he wanted if he wanted to bring on the Makos, so he went already, Moshe Rabbeinu. And now he just has to, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu just has to bring on the Makos, one after another in succession, until they send out Klal Yisrael. But to send Moshe every time to Paro, I mean, that sounds like an act of futility. Because what is he doing? He's trying to convince Paro. But I mean, no conviction is ever going to become of this. So that's the Rambam's question. It's very, very, very good question. I mean, I didn't see anybody else ask a question. Niach Bartias Libo makes sense. So okay, so just bring on the Makos in succession, once a month, whatever the program. But it's not necessary every time he's going to Paro again. That's just a waste of time because Paro simply has no choice. He can't respond to this. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to convince him something, and that would seem to be an act of futility. That's the Rambam's question. Very well.
The first five times it didn't happen.
Okay, first five, whatever it is. Second five times. It's a different pshat. But it was the second. So why the second five times? There's no reason to go. I mean, that's an absurdity. And that's the Rambam's question. It's a beautiful question.
There were other limudim, though.
What?
There were other limudim at the time.
What, limudim?
Yeah.
What do you mean by limudim?
In other words, he went with, I mean, you gave a shiur once about how he went with the Karbanos.
Okay, I understand. It's all the Mudim, all nice and Mudim. But I understand it. You can't answer things with, you can't answer a major thing with peripheral answers. There's a lot of peripheral things. But the basic idea is absurd. To send Moshe Rabbeinu, the basic idea is absurd. To send Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro to convince him when he's incapable of being convinced, that would seem to be just a futile act, and it's nonsensical. That's the Rambam's question. Okay? Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. Does anybody else ask a question? That's an open question, right? It's a funny, yeah. But, okay? Yes?
Sometimes Hasra is pointless.
Hasra is not pointless. Hasra is lafcha mitzvah gemazon. Hasra is a purpose. You know, this thing's purposeless.
But a person is so out of control.
You don't know how out of control he is. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu knows. We don't know, so we always give him Hasra. If we know, are you going to give him Hasra for when you know he's not going to listen to Hasra? You can't do that. It would be nonsensical. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. We give us focus, we're possible gone. We have no idea. As much as we think we know, I mean, this person is so far gone. Yeah, but that's our imagination. We don't know that. We don't know the Lev Adam. Yes?
So what happened at
the end of Moshe? What's that? No, that was the last. Then he released him. In order that he should get the onesh. So that's correct. He allowed him to go, right, by Marcus Bacharis. Yeah, but this is all worked out that he should be nanash. It's all worked out as onesh. He has no free will. That's the Rama's point. Not how it's worked out. Okay, yes?
Why would it matter? Even if there's two between A and B, if the punishment she deserves is to get A and B, even just, why does God have to deny him tshuva? Say that his crime was deserved two punishments, A and B, so even if you do tshuva, he was hired for two punishments.
Isn't that what I asked you? You're right, that's what I said. It's a big problem. You mean you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I said. That's a big question. It's not Dhamma. It's not Dhamma. Because over here, he's stopping him from the very thing that could save him.
Even if it could save him, my point is, even if it could save him, if you do a crime for which you get A and B punishment, even if you do tshuva, if the crime entails both punishments, I'm telling you, your crime demands both the punishment.
Your crime demands a punishment.
And it's just two parts, A and B.
Let's say A and B. Let's say A and B.
Part A occurs first, and part B is the punishment. Let's say a person deserves to get his hand, half, one hand lopped off today, the other hand lopped off in a month. And okay. Now there's two way between. What difference does it make? The crime demands both elements of a punishment.
No, but tshuva's ain't of a snare tshuva. That's ain't of a snare. No, you're saying tshuva doesn't work. I mean, that's we say tshuva does work. What? I don't understand the question. You're saying that tshuva doesn't work? I mean, we hold tshuva works. I mean, you want to know why tshuva? It's a separate thing. I mean, but that we know tshuva works. Yes?
Like the whole thing is a theatrical event for a purpose of teaching somebody else.
A theatrical event? Teaching who? Teaching who?
Klal Yisrael.
Klal Yisrael. Okay, we'll see about it. But that's not fair either. Okay, but that's not fair either. I mean, that's not fair. Listen carefully. Okay. You see, I think everybody sees the problems, right? Okay, we'll be here all day. All right. Yeah. So anyway, it's like this. But that's the Rambam's question. I mean, Rambam's question is a beautiful question. I mean, it's a futile activity. What is he going back every time? I mean, if the first five times, want to say, learn that shot. Yeah. So time, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is a waste of time. No need for it. Okay? That's the Rambam's question. He says, that was the very onish that he must refrain. He must remain obstinate. It doesn't make any sense. What's Moshe Rabbeinu asking him to do something? He simply can't do it. He's not in a position to respond. Okay, that's the Rambam's question. It's a powerful question. Okay, like I said, I didn't see anybody ask the question. It's an open question. Says he nei gam. He says Ram's like this. He nei gam ze hoya chachma milafon of yisava. Says this too was a chachma before God. Kidei lahodio kim yirtza Hashem levatla bechiraso harayu mevatla. Lefichachamalo ani dorish mimcha l'shalchem ve'ilu shalachtam hayisa nitzol. If you would send an ayud, ela she'encha mishaleach ad she'tovei. That this itself is the limud. Strange thing. Vayehu rotza lahaskim kidei she'yira ke'ilu kidei she'yira ke'ilu hofach divrei anovi she'hu manua milahaskim v'lo yochol. So, the Hoya was then Mofes Godlam of Forsam Eitzel Kol B'nei Yisrael, Kol Moshe Amo Laman Sapashmi B'chol Oretz. So he says, he wanted to mask him that he could see that he could see that Ke'ilu Hepach Hofach Divrei Hanavi Shehu Manua Milahaskim V'lo Yochol. In other words, he wanted to show him this very idea that he has no control over himself. Okay, sheyesh Hashem manish asadam masha moneya mimenu bechira pula mesiyemes. Sometimes God punishes a person where he removes from him his free will to do a specific action. V'yedu b'kach v'lo yochol limshoch asnaf shel lachziru losa bechira. And he knows that. He knows he can't. He doesn't have the free will. V'al derech zu atzmo hayonir sichon melech cheshbon. So the same thing with sichon melech cheshbon. Ki lefi ma shekodam mimerio shelo hayo muchachol v'hanishu Hashem shemono Milehei onos li Yisrael. He prevented him from responding to the Jews. Achenil chamubo. Vu amro v'lo'ova sichol melech cheshbon avirenu bo ki hikshad Hashem l'kech hasrucho. Umashe, okay. Umashe uksa al ze kol ha-mefarshim. B'choshvam shesichol nenesh ashol nosin so lavar ba'atzo. He says, all the mefarshim is, why was he nenesh? V'amro heich nenesh v'reihu muchrach, he was forced. K'mo shechoshvu Sheparo nena shuva avodav ashlo shalcha Yisrael ve'ein adova elakamoshe biyano. Sheparo avodav hayon shemes Hashem al masha kara mirisham. The answer was from before. Shelo yeshuvu. Shelo yeshuvu that they shouldn't do tshuva kidei sheyavo aleihem osan hamakos. Vaya onesh sichon al masha kara mirisho o ovel she'osa b'malchusa. And Sichon was a big Russian, and he did evil before. So because of that evil, his onesh again was sheyimna milehi onos li Yisrael kidei sheyahargu. Ukvar bir Hashem al yedei Yeshayahu ki Yeshu yisalem manish miktsas harashoyim, that God in general, now the Ram says it wasn't just a specific case, but it's a general thing that God punishes miktsas harashoyim b'mashem oneya mehem es hatshuva, that he prevents them from doing tshuva, that's a very special onish. Okay, v'lo yashil lohem bo b'chira, and they haven't got any free will. Kimo shama hashmein lev hamazev oznam ha'achbed v'shova rafalo v'zef pasuk mafura shein etzarach biur. Elohu mafteach lemin ulim rabim. It's an opening for many closed doors. Ulifi ayizod azem misparshim divrei Eliyahu alav hashalom alakofrim shaban shidoro va'ata asibosas liba macharanis. He says that God turned their heart backwards. Klama shekivon shehimru bertzonom, because they originally rebelled with their own free will. Haya on shecholohem shetata liba midarkei tshuva latashlem bechira v'lo ratzon bazivus achet hazeh. Lefichach esmidu bekfirasim. That's why they kept on going in their kfira. Ke'ein amro chavur atzabim Ephraim hanachlo. Kloma hu neschaber la'alilim. He's attached to alilim. Beretzono v'ovam. On show she yishoer ba'avosim. His onesh is he should remain with this attachment. V'zeu inyan hanachlo. V'zei says minifloi ha'pirushim. From the most astounding of pirushim, l'misha mevin dakus ha'inyanim. For a person that understands the fine points of the inyanim. That's what the Rambam says, basically. I'd like to understand what is these fine points. I mean, the Rambam's talking about that. This is an amazing pshat. Okay? Seems like a difficult pshat. Yeah. So I think what the Rambam means is really starts in the Navi. So the Navi says in Yecheskel, you read in Shmos and Parshas Ve'era, so the Haftorah is in Yecheskel, Yecheskel Chafei. So it says like this. The pasuk says, "Daber v'amata kama Hashem alekim hineni alecha paro melech Mitzrayim hatanim hagodol harovets besoch yorav." Okay, the great serpent that that wallows in his rivers. Asher Omar that says, "Li yori, I have my yor, I have my river, v'ani asisini." Vani Asisini. What does it mean, Vani Asisini? Vani means simply, in today's terms, I'm a self-made man. That's what it means. That's what it means. Vani Asisini. Yeah. That was Paro. So Paro's philosophy is that I have the ore, which is a source of the wealth and everything that he needs. Vani Asisini, I made myself. I'm a self, even say it today, I'm a self-made man. Same expression, Vani Asisini. So that...
It's kind of like God, like I'm my own cause.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't stupid. He knew that he was born. It means he's just like people today feel that they're self-made men. There's such a concept. It's important to be a self-made man. So there is that idea. It's the same exact idea. There's no difference between today's... It's almost literally the same thing. The concept that a person has a sense that he's a self-made man. That's Ani Asisini. That's what I mean. It doesn't mean Ani Asisini, I made myself. I mean, you know, he's not stupid. I mean, the Torah's not talking... Navi's not talking about an idiot. So Paro is a powerful ruler, but that's the sense that he has about himself, that he's self-made. I mean, that's today's ideal. A person is a self-made man. That emotion. So the Navi identifies that emotion with the ultimate emotion of Resha, the ultimate attitude of the Resha. That's the attitude of Resha. What? Yeah, but I want to get, he says gaiva, but I want to get down a little more to what the nature of that gaiva is. Okay? You see, that is that idea, that sense of well-being that the person feels, strives for, and he feels that he has attained when he can say he's a self-made man, that attitude and that gratification and that sense of satisfaction is the evil of that the Torah, that the Navi depicts in Paro. That sense, that emotional attitude and that enjoyment that goes with it, that whole feeling that he's a self-made man, this is what the Navi describes as the evil of Paro. Okay? The evil of Paro. That's that Paro and it's the old Paro. Same thing. It's the same Paro. Okay. So what is that? Why is that such an evil? I mean, what is it? Why is that depicted as such an evil? An interesting Ramban, but how would you define it philosophically? How would you define that evil? What's the definition of that evil? It means what?
God's not in the picture.
What?
God's not in the picture at all. Does
it? It means that he denies what? He denies. But what is he denying? He's denying one significant idea, one significant truism, namely that he's a Nivra, that he's a Nivra. That's what he's forgetting. He's forgetting one thing. That's why it says, Vani Asisini, Li Ori Vani Asisini. That's the opposite of the recognition that he's a Nivra, simple recognition. That he's a Nivra, that he didn't exist before, and at a certain point he was brought into existence, and he's a Nivra, and once a person recognizes a Nivra, it's a different kind of a perception of life. See, the Va'ani Asisini, the self-made man, is the man that denies one thing, namely that he's a Nivra. So how important is it for a person to think that he's a Nivra? How important is it in Yahadus for a person to think that he's a Nivra? Interesting. The Ramban talks about it. That concept that a person is a Nivra is an extremely important idea. Ramban says like this.
Doesn't he just refer to his business acumen?
No.
Self-made man means he made his own million.
No. You don't know what the idea of a self-made man is. You're in good shape. Don't worry about it.
Isn't he just referring to his business?
You have to know what it means, right? You have to be in a certain realm to know what that is. A certain realm. I mean, it's asaga. Okay. It's not for the ordinary person. Okay.
Carl thought he was a deity.
There's different levels. There's a different levels in different levels in sophistication of different levels in sophistication of the Yetzer. I mean, the Yetzer is the Yetzer is very sophisticated. The highest level is that sense. Self-made man, that is the ideal. That's today's ideal, it's American ideal. It's an amazing thing. You look at the pasuk, it's exact same words. Okay, yeah. So the Ramban says, I guess. The Ramban says, Va'ata omer l'cho klal betam mitzvos rabos. Ramban is in the end of Bo. Famous Ramban, the end of Bo. But this part they usually don't quote. They usually quote the last part. The Ramban says, Va'ata omer l'cho klal B'tam mitzvos rabos me'eis hayos avodah zorah ba'olam mi mei eno shechelu hadeos lishtabesh be'emuno mehem kofrim be'igar. He says, in the time of Enosh, there are many different deos, evil deos, he says, and what were they? He says, some of them kofrim be'igar, they denied God, v'omim ki olam kadmon, that the universe is just a natural phenomenon and it's always existed. Okay, ki chashu b'Hashem v'yomru lohu u'mehem makishim b'yedioso haprotius. Some of them deny. They say they accept that God is the creator, but they deny the ashgacha, the specific ashgacha. V'omru eicho yeda keil. And the Yesh Dea Be'elyon, and they say, how could God know particulars? Okay. U'mehem sheyodu b'yedia. And there's some that are more that God is omniscient, he has knowledge of every single detail of his creation, but they're makrish di hashgacha. Okay. They're makrish di hashgacha v'yasu odom kidegei hayom. And they make a person like the fish of the ocean. Okay. Shelo yashgiach hakel b'hem. Because God is, there's no hashgacha on every single fish in the ocean, as Ramban said, like the Rambam. That's hashgacha klolius. Okay. The ein imam onesh oschar v'omer ozav Hashem esaretz. Now he says, v'kasher yitzol akim ba'eda o biyochid, and when God's will is for a certain Eda, a certain group, or a certain individual, the Yasa Imoem Mofes, Beshinu Imun Hogo Shalolam, and he makes a demonstration through a change in the law of nature, the Tivo Yisbara Lakol Bitla Deos Ha'ela, Kulom, Kia Mofes Hanifla Moresh Yeshla Olam Eloka, Mechacho v'yodeya u'mashgiach v'yachol. Okay, so he says. So the whole purpose of the nes is like the Rambam says. It's just for one thing. There's no reason for the nes per se. We don't care about miracles, but it's the idea from the nes that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is hashgacha. His hashgacha prevails and extends to Adam. Interesting thing is now we're coming up time in the Megillah, and the question, of course, is what is the nes of the Megillah? What is the nes of the Megillah? So the Gemara says Tokfo Shel Nes is Balaylahu not Dashnas Hamelach, right? But the Gemara says, the same Gemara says, that why was Balaylahu not Dashnas Hamelach? So it says, because Esther's chachma, she zimna li lahaman for the Mishnah, and she knew that there was ambivalence between Achashverosh and Haman, and she knew the best way is to not tell him why they're going to meet the next day, and therefore he started to think about it as another shnasamalach. So naturally he brought the Sefer Zachronos to see, he started to get worried, he thought maybe Maybe there's a rebellion. And he said he started to worry about people that he didn't repay, that's for loyalty, and the whole unraveling of the Megillah. But the truth of the matter is that an ace? I mean, if that could happen many times, I mean, that same phenomenon. So why do we call it an ace? I mean, wherein is the nace? Why is it deserving of the idea of an ace? And basically, it's not really, it happens all the time. Happens a good, very good strategy, but it happens all the time. We wouldn't say if we saw such an occurrence, it's a nace. But what's the answer? The answer is, everybody says nace nester. Yeah, well, what does nace nester mean? I mean, where is the nace? Why do we call it a nace? But the answer is, we know it's a nace for one reason, because we know certain things about the Ashgacha. And we know that Klal Yisrael can't be on the verge of extinction without Vanochi Haster Aster Panai, without a removal of the Ashgacha. And we know that without the return of the Ashgacha, that we simply will not make it. So it's called a Nis because the whole, like the Ramban says, the whole purpose of Nisim is not miraculous events, but the whole purpose of Nisim is the idea of the Ashgacha, that a person should recognize the Ashgacha. And the recognition of the Ashgacha, and where the Ashgacha is in our favor, and we're fortunate, so that's Machayev and Shevach Vodor. So that's why it's called the Nes Nister, because what it means is that the Nes is only known because of the knowledge of Torah that we have of Hashgachas Hashem. If we didn't have that knowledge, we wouldn't recognize the Nes here. Because things like that happen all the time. So, but once we see, and that's why you have all the Chazal, the Midrashim, let's say the Malach pushed the Sefer, all those things are to show you that many things could have gone wrong, and the Ashgachas Hashem secured the results. But we only know that from a Yediyah of Hashgacha, that the Torah reveals to us. That's why it's called Nes. So that's what the Ramban is saying. There's no purpose in miracles. The only purpose is that man should recognize the Ashgachas Hashem. And through the recognition of Ashgacha, his life has changed. That's what the Ramban is saying. And that was the whole purpose of the Nisim. So he says like this. L'chein yom ha'kos v'mosim. The Ramban says, L'chein yom ha'kos v'mosim l'man teda k'nir Hashem b'ker of haaretz. L'horos al ha'ashgacha. Ki lo ozav osam. L'mikrim k'daitam. They didn't leave them to chance. Okay. V'oma l'man teda k'nir Hashem haaretz. L'horos al ha'chidush. Because the whole universe is under his control, and that's why he can change it at will. Okay? Okay. So Ramban says that's really the whole purpose. He says, they were either denied or they were in doubt about it. Im kein ha'osos v'mofsim ha'gedolim edim nemonim be'emunas ha'borei u'betorah kula. He says that's the whole purpose of the osim, and it was, of course, for the mitzvim, mitzvim as well, l'man teda k'nir Hashem b'ker haaretz. Okay, and then he goes on to say that's why the Torah, he says, many mitzvahs of the Torah, all based on this one idea, and God doesn't do miracles all the time, and once and for all is it. So he says like this. But then he goes on, he says like this. He goes on and he says like this. He says, the kavonas kol ha-mitzvos. Ramban says, he goes through the different mitzvahs and how a person can be zocha and the chesed Hashem, that a person can be zocha to the truth through a simple ma'isa mitzvah. But then he goes on and says like this. He says, he says that's what it says of Avizor Mitzvah Kal B'Chamura Shekulon Chamudos V'Chavivos Me'od Shebechol Sho Odom Modo Behen Lelokov. Okay, and all in the Siyas HaMitzvahs, every Siyas HaMitzvah is a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Ashgacha. Okay, so he says like this. He says V'Kavonas Kol HaMitzvahs. And what's the objective of all the mitzvahs? He says Shenamin Belokenu Vinoda Elov Shehu Bra'onu. Interesting Ramah. He says, what's the ultimate objective of everything? He says, for man, he says, the ultimate objective of the mitzvahs is shenamina belakeno, means nama means that it should be known to us, understood, verified. The noda elov shehu brano, and we should know and admit that God created us. He created us. The kavana sayitzira. And that's the whole purpose of the Yetzirah. She'ein lanu tam acher b'yetziyah harishono v'ein le'elyon b'sachtonim chefetz milvad zeh. This is the whole purpose. She'yeda ha'odom v'yoda le'lokov she'biro'o. That he should be moded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him. The kavanos romamos hakol b'tfilos. The kavanos batek ne'esias. All the tfilos and all the davening. Z'chus tfilos harabim. Zehu. Is for this sheyir yel levnei odom makom yiskabtu the yodu lokel sheberom, he created them v'imtziom and he gave them existence the yifarsamu zeh the yomru lefonav, and they should say before him two words briosecha anachna. That's it. That's the Rambam. Okay, that's the Rambam. So Ramban says the kavana of everything, of the mitzvahs and the yetzirah, and the perfection of man lies, it can be summed up in two words, briyosecha anachnu. So what does it mean? It means the recognition that one is a nivra. It's amazing, Ramban. That one is simply a nivra. Okay. So what the Ramban is saying is that stands in total contradistinction to Paro li yo'ri v'ani asisini, the self-made man. See, the self-made man is trying to deny that he's a nivra. And the emitis, the truth of that fact that an individual is a nivra, is the ultimate recognition of reality with regard to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and with regard to himself. That singular concept. Okay? You see, that's what the Ramban says. That's, if a person knew that he is that, if he removed all the fantasies of his emotions and he recognized simply that he's a nivra, he'd be living in absolute reality. You see? That's how Ramban, v'anochi afa v'efer. That means he had the recognition that he is a nivra. And he could accept anything, even Misa. Because, you see, the Torah is mechayev a person to accept Misa. So, how could a person accept that? Only if he recognizes that if he's a Nivra, that's the way he was a Nivra. And it's not something that is disturbing, because that is part of his being a Nivra, his acceptance of the fact that he's a Nivra. That's what the Ramban says. This one idea is the ultimate reality frame for a human being, for recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and recognition of himself. It's an amazing Ramban. The Ramban says everything can be telescoped into that one idea. That's the Ramban. And that's the opposite of Paro. So it comes, that's what Ramban says. That was the whole purpose. The purpose of all the Nisim was to give that ultimate idea and recognition that the Odom is a Nivra. That the Odom, if an Odom is a Nivra, he, self-made man, is absurd. It's silly. I mean, it's nonsensical from the very beginning. But if he perceives he's a Nivra, the whole idea does not make any sense. So and there can't be any type of satisfaction in that illusion, you see. So now let's go back to the Rambam. I think this Ramban opens up the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying. See, the Rambam says a dovo nifla. He says, it's an astounding thing. He says, what do you say? And that a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away the Bechira. But you'll notice he says, intermingled in everything he says, he has over there, he says that this was the purpose. The purpose was that Paro should recognize that he has no free will. What does it mean? It means to say like this. It means a person can recognize things from external events, and he can draw conclusions, But a person can recognize, will recognize things to the greatest degree from an observation of the self. The self. You see, the self is really the bottom line. That's where he is totally involved. So if an individual sees that the essence of his self is not under his control, which is his free will, you see, then he has the opportunity for the ultimate recognition of the fact that he's a Nivra. You see, for the fact that he's a Nivra. He lost the thing which is the most valuable thing in his life. That is his free will to be able to do what he wants. He doesn't have it anymore. And if he sees it, that is the ultimate recognition that he's a Nivra. He comes to that recognition. But the question is, in that process, you see, he has lost his free will, and he is incapable. He's incapable. In other words, his onesh. He lost his bechira. In the process, he lost his bechira. So, and the onesh is that he must recognize God, but at the same time, he doesn't have any schusim attached to that. You see, there are no schusim attached to that. That's the ultimate onus. You'll ask me a question, but why is it so? Why doesn't God allow him to have bechira and be a tzaddik? You see, that's what the Rambam is trying to explain. The Rambam is trying to explain that the reason is because bechira is something which has an end. In other words, like this, a person can spend his bechira. Can spend his bechira. In other words, there is a point where the person was a bocher. Ordinarily in life, a person's bechira is not spent. His bechira is not spent because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a certain amount of opportunities and almost endless opportunities. Ki lo yachpos b'mos ha'meis. But that's for ordinary people. But there can be a rasha who simply spent his bechira. See what Ram says? Ram says that the... he says, Gam Hema. He says, Ulafichach. He says, because... I'm trying to see which point I'm looking for. But he says over there, he says, because they Gam Hema Bacharu B'darcheim. He quotes the Pasuk. Gam Hema Bacharu B'darcheim. He quotes the Pasuk. Which means to say that their bechira was spent on evil, and now there is nothing left of the bechira. You see, so bechira is something which is a, you might say, a finite phenomenon, because our existence is in a finite world. So the extent of the bechira, in other words, the reason why a person always, God gives man more chances, it means his bechira is not over. He didn't finish with his bechira. He still didn't decide. God does not consider this a decision yet, you see. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marachaf and allows him. He didn't fully choose yet. The choosing isn't over. But the Rambam says there are rare cases of individuals, of Rishoyim, where the choosing is over. And they have made the choice. They spent the Bechira. And now they are subject to an onish of a very specific type. And that onish is a recognition of the fact that they're a Nivra. And without the ability to be Zocha in making that choice. That is the onish. That's what the Rambam says. So what the Rambam is explaining is as follows. What the Rambam is explaining is that's why every time Moshe Rabbeinu had to go to Paro again and again and again. Why? He doesn't have any Bechira to demonstrate to him that he has no control over the self. The onesh is Mido Keneged Mido, because he denied that he is a Nivra, and now he has to recognize that he's a Nivra, but not through his Bechira. That's the onesh. That is the onesh. So Laman Teda Ki Ani Hashem Beke, and the Rambam says, and this was a moface for everyone, which means that the ultimate recognition that was the objective of the whole Yetzias Mitzrayim is like the Ramban says, namely that people saw that this great Melech has no control over himself, and you see the Avonim says that Atam Teda Ki of the Mitzrayim. They came to Paro and said, it's enough already, and don't you see this is crazy? But they recognize the fact that he is completely Birshus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that recognition was the ultimate recognition of Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz on a primary level with the human subject. And that was the onesh, that he should function, and the objective was that he should function as a vehicle for others to recognize that Adam is a Nivra. Because look at this unbelievable, astounding phenomenon that this individual, this great Melech, has no control over as well. So that was the fact that the great Melech has no control over his will is the ultimate recognition of the fact that Adam is a Nivra, and he's Bershus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see, that's what the Rambam is saying. And that was the whole objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Without the Ramban, I wouldn't have seen it. But the Ramban makes it clear, and you see from the Navi, the Ramban makes it clear that is the ultimate objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not enough a philosophical idea, a correct philosophical idea, which is essential, of course, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Borei Olam, and his Hashgacha, and Yediyah Hashgacha, all the essential ideas. That's Yesod HaYesodos. I mean, that's for sure. But he says it was something more. It was drawn to a further conclusion. It was drawn to the conclusion which demonstrates to man that what is exactly the framework and the highest level of human existence. And the highest level of human existence is one thing, like Ramban says, the recognition that one is a Nivra. That is the reality of the fact that you're a Nivra, which is an objective reality, the recognition and realization of that is the highest level of human existence. And that was Yetzias Mitzrayim, according to Ramban. That was the objective of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Rambam is simply saying that it was demonstrated through a vehicle, which is the greatest form of demonstration. And that is through the Adam Ba'atzmo. And who was this Adam? The Adam was Paro. So the Adam was Paro. He was used as a means and as a vehicle of demonstrating the Yodu Mitzrayim Ki Ani Hashem Bikavdi Befaro. So that's what the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam says, that it's a very fine idea, because it has a different dimension to it. And you'll ask me, why, what about the person himself? Why does he deserve such an onesh? He says that area is Mishpat Hashem. I mean, we could just know what the onesh is, and the Rambam says, and it's for certain at certain times for certain Rishoyim are subject to that onesh, that they absolutely lose their will, and in the loss of their will becomes manifest the idea that they were created for. But for them, it's too late. Because for them, they lost their Bechira, they spent their Bechira already, and it's impossible for them to attain any good. But that's a type, a min ha'onesh. That's what the Rambam is saying. It's a min ha'onish, an unusual min ha'onish. But it is a min ha'onish. And in Mitzrayim it was used for one purpose. The Yod Mitzrayim Ken Yad Hashem. When they saw that this powerful human being simply has no control over his own will. And his will is b'shus ha'makom, b'shus ha'kadosh baruch hu. That was the greatest limud for ki ani Hashem b'karav haaretz. That's what the Rambam is saying. And that is the greatest limud, because on the personal level of a human example, that is the most powerful, nisim and aflos are something that can affect a person. Can affect a person temporarily and give him an opportunity to think. But this is, of all the nisim, this has the greatest and most powerful effect and is the greatest instrument and vehicle of limud, because it is the limud in the very idea, which is the essence of the recognition of being a nifra, that onu briya, nachnu briya secho, that concept. So then that was what was, well, that's what the Rambam is saying, that it's a dava nifla. That it's a davar nifla because it is the greatest form of representation of the idea, and it is the idea itself. You see, it's the idea. You know, the other nisim don't have a content which directly expresses this idea. See, this is like this nes. I mean, the dam tzvadei akinim reflects the hashgachas Hashem, but this shows the odom. The very idea itself of what is perfection, and that was that's what the Rambam is saying. That was demonstrated in Yitzchus. That was demonstrated at Paro, and that's niflos dovar nifla. Niflos Hashem that they saw that in Mitzrayim, and they all recognized it, and they all saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was demonstrating the ultimate idea. That the Adam is a Nivra, which is the true idea, and that's the idea that a person, if he lives by that idea, he lives a life of Emes. That's what the Rambam is saying. Okay. That's correct. I don't know, it's an Onish. An Onish.
I'm saying the Onish itself was a way of allowing him to recognize.
I don't know. I mean, for himself, would it be for himself? I don't know. Because he really can't. He's really gone. He's never been olam. I don't know. All around the Ram doesn't really. The Ram doesn't go into individual. Ram doesn't go into. You can't go beyond a certain point when you're talking about Mishpat Hashem, because it's like the Ram says. And like we're saying, yeah, an Adam is a Nivra, so he can't really have any Asaga of the Mishpat Techa Tahom Rabbah. I mean, we can't have any real Asaga of Mishpat Hashem. But we can recognize and identify certain types of Onish. That we can do. And that's what we're on. And we can see what the benefit is in certain instances. And that's exactly what the Rambam is saying over here in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the benefit. And that was the whole objective. And it's in line exactly with what Ram says in the Mar Nevuchim, the end of the Mar Nevuchim, that Leman Teda Ken Yad Hashem Bekerav Haaretz, and that the Ashgacha trickles down to Adam and to every aspect of his life. And it's not just Ashgacha Klalius, but Ashgacha Pratius to every single detail. And Yedias Hashem, and Yedias Hashem is every single detail. And his Ashgacha involves even lowly man in his activities. You see, that's really. But the way to show it ultimately is through the fact that he lost his own essential control. He lost that which he prides and which he uses and which is the most significant element for any human being is free will. He does not have it anymore. See, that was really the mafis. That's what Ram explains.
Is there any indication that Ram himself realized that or not?
Yeah, the Ram says he did. Yeah, he did because he experienced it firsthand, and no doubt he revealed it to others as well. And he wasn't the only one. It seems Avodov. Sometimes some of the Avodim were involved also in the same phenomenon. But the Rambam says that's an onesh. That's a min onesh. And you see, even in Klal Yisroel, ki atasi bosom asliba macharanis, that a person can spend their bechira. It's possible to spend your bechira and to be bocha bara, and that's it. Ordinarily, for ordinary people, that's not true. Because God doesn't say the person made a decision. He made a decision now, it's not a real bechira. He really wasn't bocha bara. There are other opportunities. His bechira is not over. But for a certain type of individual, the bechira is, there's no way they can return. There's no way they can return, and they spent their bechira, and that's it. That's what Rambam is saying. Yes?
How does this tie back into Yisrael's
recognition? Oh, yeah, okay, good. Right, I'm sorry. Right. Very good, Yeah. So that's what I want to say, that according to the Rambam, the pshat and the pasuk is very good. Ki vadovar asher zodu aleihem. See, Badovar Shezodu, what does it mean Badovar Shezodu? Badovar Shezodu means the will. Badovar Shezodu Aleihem. He says that's what the Pasuk means. That after Degal Hashem Mikol Aleihem, Ki Badovar Asher Zodu, the thing Zodu means their will, their intent. Bezodon means intention. Okay? So their very intention, aleihem, was thrown upon them, and they lost it. You see, they lost that very thing. The badavar shezodu, the will itself, was aleihem, was taken away from them. You see, that's what, according to the Rambam, the pshat is very good. It's a unique pshat. The badavar shezodu, the will itself, that was the greatest demonstration. That was great. Yisroel was makir. He was makir that idea. That was the ultimate manifestation and demonstration to man for the highest principle, namely, like the Ramban says, that we are Nifraim. We are Nifraim. Okay. This is what Yisroel recognized. That he recognized that. He recognized Yisroel saw beyond the simple exterior of the nace, he saw deep into the idea and the objective of the nisan. See, the objective of Adam. He says, and on that level, he was into total reality. And according to the Rambam, the pshat in the first part of Pasuk is beautiful. So that's a pshat. Ati dad gol Hashem mikol olehim, that through the recognition of the fact that he was a Nivra and reaching that ultimate state, so all the fantasies dispersed. All the fantasies were gone. You see.
Rabbi, yes. So when Paro, 3 days later, when Paro convinced his Avodim to go after Mitzrayim, to go after Bnei Yisrael, by telling them that they can have the spoils first, right? I'm going in front of you. So he negated that whole, the whole
tshuva
that he just did, he just negated it all? Just
It was no tshuva. The fear was removed.
You said that he said
that
the point here is less 6 months. Recognition was lost.
No, but he let them go.
That's correct.
David Paro himself recognized
he's a good person. That's right, but it was too
late. So that therefore, at that moment, even though the license covenant just goes, philosophically, he already has done tshuva. He recognizes the truth.
There's no tshuva. That's it. There's no tshuva anymore. That's an onesh. That's what the Rambam is saying. That is a min ha-onesh. You want to know? That's the Rambam is saying. That's not tshuva. He says that's a min ha-onesh. You want to know why there's such a min ha-onesh? That's the Borei Olam's cheshbon. But there is. You can see somewhat of what that onesh is. But we can't. Say that we understand the mishpatecha tahom rabba. We don't know, but we can identify and gain some knowledge. That's what Rambam said. Fine, but it's too late. But it's too late, fam. It's too late. It's not a result. It does not matter because it's not a result of his free will anymore. So for him, it's worthless. What? I can't answer questions like that. I don't know. Did it benefit us all?
At that point,
it's an honor.
Compulsive.
I mean, he had the knowledge, but the knowledge was not out of Bechira, It's not out of Bechira. That's correct. It's an onish. It's an amazing thing. It means it's like it's a chorus Hashem L'Oncho. A strange kind of thing. But there is an Onsho. Like it's too late. You can't gain anything out of it. You cannot gain anything out of it. Yeah, it's trapped. It's trapped. Yeah. Yep.
Do we say that Kal Vachomer Hashem would do this for the rest of the Olam? The person is always given this opportunity in life to see the Nevarah.
We know that. We know that. He's given the opportunity. We know that. He's given the opportunity. And that's Tzitzis Mizraim. That's Tzitzis Mizraim. That's the purpose of Tzitzis Mizraim. Okay, it's a interesting Ramban, but the Ramban and the Rambam kivnu l'davar achad. The same, it's interesting, very interesting thing. Okay, Rabbi Osei.
So what do they have?
Okay. I wanted to go a little further, do the more of the Ramban, because there's a lot of, I think there are big yesodos in this Ramban in the end of Bo. And something you could just take them for granted, not really look into the details of what the Ramban is saying. So, but before we do, there's one thing I wanted to mention about some people asked me a question about Bechira, that I mentioned that a person can, so to speak, use up their Bechira. And we mentioned like by Paro, okay, with the Rambam, that Paro was beyond the point of tshuva. So the onish then is that the like we explained last time, like that the individual can't do tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu prevents him from doing tshuva. So, in other words, even if there are events that would cause him to be shav al Hashem, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will not allow him to be shav, and that is the onesh. But the reason why that is just, as we explained, is because the person has a given bechira in this world, and he used it up. He spent his bechira. I just want to say what I mean by that. Now, what the Rambam means is that a person, that bechira is a phenomenon of the soul, and the soul can be bocher bara. If the soul completely is bocher bara, so that's the end of the bechira. Ordinarily in life, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a person a chance because it means he wasn't fully bocher bara. So as long as he's alive, as long as he wasn't completely bocher bara, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to be a shav. And events that take place in the individual's life that cause the person to rethink his way of living and to change in terms of his, wherever the person is in terms of their respective level, so the individual is endowed with this ability, with this bechira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists him if he's bocher b'tov. But there is such a phenomenon as the soul being totally bocher bara, like by a paro. And once that happens, that's the end of the bechira. Qualitatively, that's the end. No matter how long the person lives after that, doesn't make any difference because the soul has completely made that determination. That's what the Rambam is explaining. That's one of the aspects of what the Rambam says. It's a very deep idea in the chait of Paro. So that concept is that you have to look at Bechira in a qualitative way. Okay, so then the Bechira is over because the soul completely chose Ra. Of course, in the opposite side, it's never over. In being bocher b'tov, there's no such thing. You can't say a person is bocher b'tov, and now he has no more bechira. he may not have bechira with regard to things that he already passed, levels that he already attained. He's not going to, if a person is a tzaddik, he has no bechira with regard to doing basic averis, because he's beyond that. His soul has reached a level where it's naturally desires the good. But there's no such thing as the bechira being over completed in terms of bechira b'tov as it can be in terms of bechira b'ra. Okay? Even Moshe Rabbeinu still had bechira. And the ra'i is because of the chait by Mem Riva. So you see that the greatest individual is always endowed with bechira, and there cannot be an end to the bechira in the derech of tov, whereas in the derech of ra there can be. And why is that so? Okay, why is that so? Anybody want to? But no, the answer is very simple. The answer is because in ra there's a gvul. In other words, he's bocha bara, and if he's bocha kulo bara, his whole soul is bocha bara, so then that's the end of it. But tov is infinite. Tov is infinite. Tov, there's no end to tov. So in tov, the bechira will never, you can't, it's not like good and bad, being good or being bad. It's that's on an infantile level we have such concepts. But in the true ideas of tov and ra, there is a difference between Tov and Ra. Ra has a limit. Ra, there's a limit. I mean, he simply is Bocha Bara, and that's it. That's what his soul wants. But in Tov, there's no limit, because in Tov, it's infinite. It's Adad Hashem Olekecha, Ad Kisei Kavod. So there's no end, and even Moshe Rabbeinu can continue. There's no end to Tov is an infinite phenomenon of good and rising to a higher and higher level and more Yedias Hashem. There's no end to it. So that's the difference. Why in Bochar Batov there is no end to it, but in Ra there is an end. In other words, once he totally embraces evil, that's the end of the soul. Okay, I just want to make that point. Yes, as long as a person is alive and his das is still with him, so his das forever can increase, and there's no end to how far he can attain. So I mean, the end is after when his life is over. But as long as he's just like there's no end to knowledge. The tov is based on knowledge, and knowledge there's no end for an individual. Okay. In other words, the process of good, of tov, never ends. Even for Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't end. Because as long as the individual can gain knowledge, so the tov increases. Tov is dependent on chachma. And in chachma, there's no knowledge. So the only time it's over is, the only time the knowledge ceases is when his life ceases. But in the process of tov, there cannot be any end. In the process of tov, you could say that no one that means that in terms of using that's the ultimate. He's the ultimate odom ha'anushi, the ultimate, the highest level. That in terms of perfection, but in terms of the pursuit, the process of the pursuit, and the process of the pursuit, it's endless. So as long as the, just like chachma is endless, so tov is endless. So there's no such thing as an end to the tov. Whereas in ra, once the individual embraces evil, and he's removed, his soul is completely turned towards evil, that's it. There's nothing more. Okay, it's a process that comes to an end. Okay. What I wanted to do today was the Ramban, because in the Ramban he mentions certain things which I think are really basic and deserve attention. Okay, Ramban says like this. He says, Ata Omer Lecha Klal Betam Mitzvos Rabos. And he mentions that there were different views about God, that some are called from Be'ikar, and then some said that some held that they believed in God, but they didn't believe that there's Hashgacha. And that could be even because there are people that believe that man isn't worthy of Hashgachas Hashem. It doesn't necessarily mean a person that wants to deny the Hashgacha because he has tendencies towards Kfirah. What it means is even a person who would seem like a legitimate reason, which is that he maintains that Chachmas Hashem teaches him that Adam is basically not Roy, okay? Is not Roy. So that idea is false. And that idea is false, even though it's a lofty level, because you see, David HaMelech mentions that. He says, Kerech Shemecha Maise Es Basecha Mo Enosh Kisis Kareno. So a human being, when he sees Chachmas Hashem, does think that way, Mo Enosh Kisis Kareno. But nevertheless, the Torah wanted to make it clear that even though to the human mind that conclusion is a legitimate conclusion, but it's false, but it's not true. And how do we know it's not true? We know through Nevuah. So the Ramban says that was one of the ideas. So the Ramban really sums it up. He says like this. He says that... He says, Ki amofes hanifla moro sheyesh la'olam aloka machacho. The Yodea Umashgiach the Yochel. So he says four things. He says that the mofes, that the fact that there's a mofes, which shows that God controls nature, shows that nature is under his control, which means it shows Chidush Olam, that the Olam was created Yesh Me'ayin, the Yodea, and God knows, Umashgiach, and his providence extends to every area, the Yochel, and he's able, and he's capable. It's interesting. He says, and besides that, V'kesheyeh mofesu nigzat tchilu mipi Novi, he says, and when the Novi announces it, before it happens, Yizbar mimenu od emitas hanavuah, ki yedaber Elokim es ha'odom, that the yisod of nevuah, which is the yisod of kol ha'Torah kula, v'yigal ha'sodo el avodov hanaviim, and it also shows you, he's adding over here, that a person that's on a very high level, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals his sod to his servants, the nevuim, to people that are on a certain level. That's also an important idea. That a human being could be Korov Lashem in the manner in which that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates information, gives him information. So does Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he reveals to him. V'tiskayim im zeh HaTorah kula. He says, V'lochein yom ha'kosev b'mosim. He says, that's why if you look carefully in the Pesukim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, you find different expressions. One expression is that Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro, "Leman teda ki ani ad Hashem bekerav haaretz." Bekerav haaretz. Why is bekerav haaretz? I mean, he says, "Lahoros al hashgacha." That shows bekerav haaretz means that the hashgacha extends to man. Ki lo ozav osam lemikrim kedaito. That's one expression. V'omar, he says, another pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu told the Paro, "Leman teda kilad Hashem ha'aretz." Kilad Hashem ha'aretz, a different expression. What does it mean? Lahoros al hachidush. That's to show you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Creator. Kihem shelo shebora me'ayin. So that's the yisod of chidush olam. He says, and then there's another expression, a third expression, three expressions used. Va'amar ba'avur teda ki'ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. What does it mean, ki'ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz? It means lahoros al hayacholos, to show that God is a kol yachol, that he has no limitation. Shehu shalat b'kol, ein ma'akev b'yado, no limitation. Ki b'chol zeh hayu ha'mitzriyim makhishim ha'mestapkim. So the statements that Moshe Rabbeinu made to Paro were carefully chosen, and they basically had three ideas. Okay, Chiddush Olam and Hashgachas Hashem. Chiddush Olam and Tedekel Hashem Oretz. Hashgachas Hashem Kinir Hashem Bekerav Oretz. And also, Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Oretz, that's Yecholas. Yecholas Hashem. Yecholas Hashem. That he has no limitation. Okay. Yeah. So he says like this. So these three ideas. It's interesting. Yecholas is Chiddush Olam. Of course, we understand. I mean, that's Yesh Me'ayin. That's the Yesod of Kol HaTorah Kula. It's Shabbos. Everything. But and also Hashgachas Hashem. Hashgachas Hashem. Fine. But it's interesting. Yecholas is an interesting one. The third one, Yecholas. But Yecholas comes up in a few places in the Torah itself. In one place, it comes up by Sora Imenu, that she was criticized because she left, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, said to Avram, Hayipole Me'ad Hashem Davar? Interesting expression, Hayipole Me'ad Hashem Davar. Is there anything that's too astounding? We don't say that God does the impossible. The Rambam explains, because the impossible is impossible because of God. So it doesn't say the impossible. Yipole. Yipole means something which is astounding. Is there something that's too astounding just because it's astounding? Is that a way to judge and to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it? So she was criticized for that. It's interesting. Ramban asks the question. He says, how is it possible? That the Sora HaNeviah should think that way. That just because it's an astounding phenomenon, so that's why astounding is astounding to man, it's astounding. But to God, it's not astounding because man is limited in knowledge. So he finds things astounding. So the Ramban asks, he says, how could Sora HaNeviah really be over this chait? The Ramban has an interesting answer. He says, Ulai. He says. It would seem it's possible to say that she really didn't know that they were Malachi Hashem. But she overheard the Nevuah, but she didn't know that they were Malachi Hashem. So therefore, since she didn't know Malachi Hashem, so she left that. And Ramban says she was criticized for the mere fact that even then she shouldn't have mocked it. She shouldn't have made light of it. So it was a different kind of a criticism. But you see the idea of Yecholas is an important concept from the standpoint of man. It's an important concept. You see that Moshe Rabbeinu used that. That was his tefillah by the Meraglim. That the tefillah by the Meraglim was Mibli Yecholas at Hashem, because the Mitzvah will say that God, Rashi, it was different pshat, but Rashi's pshat is the Mitzvah will say that God was able to take them out of bondage, to able to save them, but it's a different thing to be able to conquer 31 nations, 31 kings. So that's a different thing. So the Mitzvah will say, they won't say that Klal Yisrael were Bale Avera, and that's why it was an Onish, because they don't think in those terms. So they, to them, they see that Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out, Ba'anan Yomam, Ba'amoresh Loila. So you see that he loves these people. So what happened? So it must be Mibli Yecholas at Hashem. So it's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, in his tefillah, was really, according to the Ramban, the tefillah is very precise, because the Nisim in Mitzrayim were really to show three things: Chiddush Olam, plus Hashgachas Hashem, plus Yecholas Hashem. So Moshe Rabbeinu really used in his tefillah in the Meraglim, he used, that was his argument, that the whole Nisim and Mitzrayim was to prove the third element of Yecholas Hashem, and now, on the contrary, the world will say that's Mibli Yecholas Hashem, so it'll be Yechil Hashem. That was really his tefillah. So Yecholas is an important concept. And somebody one time asked me if they should mispal for something, because they said it's too much. So I said you have to be careful, because if a person is mispal for Hashem and he feels this is asking too much, it means he's saying the bli yecholas at Hashem. He's acting under the influence that this is, what do you mean it's too much? So if a person feels that he's in need of something, he should mispal for whatever it is, no matter how remote, because otherwise he's in denial of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yochel. So sometimes an emotion which would seem to be harmless can be one that, on the contrary, the person thinks he's being humble, but he really has no right to do that. He's denying Yecholas Hashem. So that's a yesod. That's the Ramban. So that's a yesod. A man has a tendency to do that because of the fact that the teva has an effect on his nature. That this is the way things are. So he forgets the source of the teva, and he acts and thinks in a certain manner. That's wrong. A person mispal for anything. There's no limitation. On the contrary, if he's not, it means he's harboring in the back of his mind the idea that there's a limitation. So that's the Ramban. Yeah. Somebody had a question? Yes, go ahead.
Don't they have a...
And when Chizkiyo was very sick, so Yeshayahu Novi told him that, I know Benavur that you're not going to make it out of this illness. So Chizkiyo said, stop with your Navur. He says, I have a Masorim Beis HaViyaba. That afilu cherev chada monachas al tzavor shel adam, he's not allowed to be Mesiyash. So in Tefillah, no, there's no limitation. No limitation. In Somchan illness, it's something else. But Tefillah is no limitation, yes. You can't be mispal for the impossible. That's something else. That's a tefillah shov. We don't say that Kadosh Baruch Hu does the impossible. But something that's possible, that a person has to be mispal for. So even though Yesh Me'ayin, of course, is Mora on Yecholas, but you see that the conveying of the ideas is not simply in terms of philosophical principles, but it's in terms of how the affect of these principles exist in man. Okay? You follow? And Yecholas is something which is in terms of man. So the Yesodos are really Chiddush HaOlam and Hashgachasa. But Yecholas is something which had to be demonstrated because of the weakness of man. The attitude of man is such that it lends itself to that idea. This is too much, you see, and that you find in like I mentioned, even by Sora HaNevi'a, that there was some aspect of that attitude in the criticism, even though she didn't know it was Nevuah, but that was for Sarah, that was a criticism. The idea that this is too much. See, that was a criticism.
Rebbe?
Okay, yes.
There's another one.
Go ahead.
By the Slavs and by Midbar.
Yeah, right.
Yad Hashem Tiksar.
Yeah, Yad Hashem Tiksar, yeah.
By Moshe.
Yeah, by Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah. But over there, the Ramban explains that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Over there, Yad Hashem Tiksar means because he didn't know that there wasn't a criticism against Moshe Rabbeinu on that. He wasn't nanash for that because he didn't know that it was. He knew that it was impossible, but he didn't know that there was availability. That's what the Ramban explains. that sometimes there's such a thing as availability. And that's why in a person's tefillah also, it's important that the person should have in mind that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps a person not through the method of availability. Like, let's say, for instance, a person is ill, and there's an availability of a new medicine. So the person's tefillah should be that this new medication, the availability, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make it available to him. So availability is a separate thing. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know about the availability. That's why Ramban explains it. That's a good point. Availability is a different. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps a person through availability, which means to say that if there is no availability, he may not warrant that he's answered in his tefillah. But availability is something which is a phenomenon that is included in a person's potential for tefillah and tefillah. That if something's available, that's a Yad Hashem Tikzah by the Slav, that it was available. It wasn't an ace. It says, because the pasuk says that that it took place through the wind, the Slav. But so that was Ashgachas Hashem through availability. Availability is a special Ashgacha. So when a person is mispalel, he doesn't know how it's going to take place. But availability is something which comes under the Ashgacha. That's something that occurs, something be available, but to you it's not known that it's available. That was by Moshe Rabbeinu with the Slav. So Yad Hashem Tikzor. That's how Kadosh Baruch Hu answered. He said, I created a big world, and you may not see it, but there's the availability of Slav. That's what the Ramban explains. So availability is a different form of Ashgacha. So the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants a person his request is dependent on a lot of things, contingent on a lot of things. Not everybody is roi, she'yasa neis al yadai, but sometimes it doesn't require a neis. Sometimes the thing is there. And the mere fact that the individual is given the ability to make contact with what exists, that's Ashgachas Hashem. That's Ashgachas Hashem. And that's really, that's by the Slav. That's a Yad Hashem Tikzar. That's what the Ramban explains. That over there wasn't an ace. It was available, but Moshe Rabbeinu did not know it was available. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu was that you're limiting my creation by saying that it's not available. And that's why the Ruach came by Yoga Salvim and Ayam. That God told Moshe is a big creation and the Slav is available. So they weren't roy for an ace, as a matter of fact. The Ramban explains they weren't roy for an ace. And that's what Moshe Benu said, that what am I going to do? He says, Atzonavaki Shachet Lahem, because he knew they weren't roy for an ace, and therefore he wasn't mispalel for that. So, because they weren't on the level. But they were roy for availability. And that was the answer. Yad Hashem Tikzor means that they're not roy for an ace, that you're right. But you're assuming that the creation doesn't contain this element. That's what it means, tikzor, because you're limiting the creation. And in reality, there was the availability of this love. So that shows you a yesod in tefillah as well, that a person may not be roy for an ace, but he should still be mispalel. Maybe it's a matter of availability. And sometimes the Ashgachas Hashem is simply that there's something that is there, but if he's not zoche, he's not mispalel, he'll never know about it. But through tefillah, it becomes available. He may not be roy for an ace, but he may be roy for availability. And that was exactly the status of Klal Yisrael by this law. The Ramban explains. They weren't roy for an ace, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't ask for that. Because he knew they weren't roy. But availability, they were roy for. So the Ashgachas Hashem is a very intricate system. And if there's something in existence which the individual is roy for, he could attain it. If it's not in existence, he won't attain it. So if he's not royal an ace. So Ashgachas Hashem is not a simple matter. But that's the parsha with the sloth. The Ramban explains it. Okay. Yes.
But, even
you know, see, we're not on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu knew they weren't royal and ace, so therefore he was mispalel for that, and he thought that there's no possibility. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, there's availability. They don't need an ace over here. But we don't know. We're not on that level, so we have to be mispalel. I mean, but we should know that what was true in that case with Klal Yisrael is true in our lives as well. That we may not be roy for an ace, but if there's something new that's available that could help us, I mean, we may be roy for that. So a person should be mispalel, not necessarily be mispalel for an ace. What I'm saying is, when a person's mispalel, he has to be a chacham in his tefillah. He's omed lifnei Hashem. He has to understand where he's at, and he has to understand he's mispalel for whatever, but he shouldn't be machzik atzmo l'tzadik. I mean, when it's possible that things are available, and he should know that he will be answered. He may be answered under these circumstances. He may not be answered under other circumstances. A person is omer lefnei Hashem. He has to understand how these have some idea, insofar as it's humanly possible, to understand how he's approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how the Ashgacha works. And a person has to know that sometimes if a person will feel he's not roy for an ace, I mean, but that doesn't necessarily mean that his kavanah and tefillah should be impaired. Maybe there's availability. A person has to be a chacham, and he should know what the framework of his tefillah is. That's the important thing. Okay. So yes. Also, a person should be astounded at the Ashgacha. But that's astounded. It has nothing to do with denial. I mean, it's a different phenomenon. Okay. Yeah. He says, in Kena Osos from Mofs Magdolim, Edim Nemon and Bemuna Saborio Batarakula. Ubatarakula. Yeah, there's one thing here. Somebody asked me a very good question. Batarakula. So, Howie Selman asked me a good question. He says that the Nisim, the Osos and the Mofsim HaGedolim are Edim Nemonim Be'emuna Sabore Ubetora Kula. Okay? Yeah, but he asked me a good question. The question is, but isn't it really Maimed Har Sinai that's the real proof? Okay, isn't Maimed Har Sinai really the proof? And the Rambam says in Perek Ches, he says that even after all the Osos and Mofsim, that nevertheless, he says, he's a mamin al pios yesh belibo dofi. It's not really a complete. There's something. He's still maharer belibo. Okay. So, but it says vayamina bar Hashem of Moshe avdo. So, what's the answer? So the answer is, yeah. The rational conclusion, a human being draws conclusions from not necessarily. From one type of proof. There's such a thing as preponderance of evidence. A preponderance of evidence convinces an individual that something is so. And even in science, that's the case. A preponderance of evidence is a very weighty phenomenon. So the Rambam is saying that even though the unbelievable preponderance of evidence existed after the Osos and Mofsim and the Nisim, but nevertheless, the mind is still Maharer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, you see from the three things that the Ramban mentions, that two of them are philosophical principles, but Yecholas is something which is necessary because of the nature of man. So the preponderance of evidence is not enough. Because the mind is still Mahara. So but once you had Maimed Har Sinai and the voice that produced the Aseres HaDibros, the voice from which Aseres Maimed Har Sinai, then there was no more place in the human mind to have any doubt. Okay. So that's correct. But the Ramban is saying an interesting thing here. And that is that doesn't mean you throw away the Mofsim in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay? It's interesting. And really, what the Ramban is saying is what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Dvarim. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu says, he says, Hashama Om Kol Lakimi Dab Metoch Eishka Shashamato Ato Vayechi. Okay, that's Maimon Har Sinai. That's the proof that Ein Acharei HaHiro. And but then he says, O Haniso Lakim Lavolu Kachas Lagoy Mikar of Goy, Bemasos Bosos of Mosum Mochom of Yel Chazagas Rotor Morgan Gedom, say about Agoda, Kolosho Lakim Lakechem Mitzrayim Leinecho. So apparently, and we're about to have the Chag HaPesach, and we mention the Osos and the Mofsim. So, and the Ramban is saying that's the whole purpose, is to demonstrate the three ideas. So what does it mean? So apparently, even after Sinai, you don't throw away what happened in Mitzrayim. On the contrary, I mean, then there's no more doubt, and in retrospect, Mitzrayim takes on a very serious component of our Amunah, you see. And why is that so? Because again, it has to do with the nature of man. That man is influenced by something direct, a direct manifestation, has a different, leaves a different conviction on an individual, on a human being, a direct manifestation. So really, the Nisim and Mitzrayim were a direct manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu controlling the laws of nature. And the direct manifestation we don't throw away. On the contrary, the direct manifestation is an integral component of our Amunah, and that's really the whole the Chag HaPesach. Okay, so that's why it is not a simple. It's not in our Torah. It's not a simple formula. The formula is very profound, and that is that the Yetzias Mitzrayim still required Sinai, but even after Sinai, where we have a direct manifestation of Hashgachas Hashem, the effect of the direct manifestation is with us, and it affects us in terms of Amunah. Were we to disregard it, we'd be losing an important component of our Amunah. That's what the Ramban is saying, and the Ramban is, there's no question. I mean, otherwise we should only have a Chag of Shavuos. You see, that's not true. So you see that the direct manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu controlling nature is a significant, very significant direct expression, which is significant for man in terms of his Amunah. Okay? Yes. He's coming to a very important point. He says like this. I mean, what he said until now is very important, but he brings it to a climax. He says like this. He says, "Ubavor ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo yasa osum ofes b'chol dor la'enei kol rasha o kofer." God is not going to perform a miracle in every generation for every kofer and every rasha. Yitzave osano she'nase tamid zichron va'os la'asher ro'o einenu. That we should make a remembrance, we should make sure we remember what we saw with our eyes. V'nati kadover al b'neinu uv'neihem livneihem uv'neihem l'dor achron. Okay, so l'dor achron. So the Ramban is saying, that's what the Ramban is saying. He's saying that this direct manifestation of Hashgachas Hashem must always be with us for every generation. And the Ramban says, V'hechmir ma'od binyan hazeh. And you see the Torah was very machmer on this inyan. K'mo shechiev koros b'achilas chometz u'b'azivas ha-pesach. And you see that's why chayev koros v'chometz. It seems out of place. A person ate chometz. Macholas asur. Why is chayev koros? Ramban says because of that. And this chorus, if you don't bring Korban Pesach, is mana bias. The Hitzrich Shenichtov Kol Masher Nira Elenu Baosos of Amosim Al Yadenu Val Beinenenu. Okay, Tfilin, the Lichtov also Al Pisre Abotim Bemezuzos. The Shenaskir Zebefinu Baboker or Baerev Kmosh Amru Emes Vyatsev the Raisa. When I say Emes Vyatsev in the morning, it's the Raisa, it's Kim the Raisa. Mimasha Kosov Laman Tiskos Yom Tzisro Meretz of Sayam Kol Yimei Chayecho. Okay, so that's a Kim the Raisa. He says, Vishenase Sukko Bechol Shana. Okay. V'chein kol b'yotzei b'hen mitzvos rabos. Many mitzvos. If you look at the Torah, you'll see. Many mitzvos. Zecher litzias Mitzrayim. V'akol. Why is everything, what is all? Lios lana b'chol adoros edus b'movsum shelo yishtakchol. They shouldn't be forgotten, and the direct manifestation should always be with us as an integral component of our amunah. He says, why? So there's many elements besides the philosophical, also the hashgacha and nevuah and chesed Hashem, the yisod of chesed Hashem, and also the yirei shemo are related to him in a very special way. That's why Chazal said, the Mishnah Nova says, "Havi zohir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura." Shekulam chamudos v'chavivos ma'od. Shebechol shor adam moda b'hen lelokov. Okay, yeah. What is Ramban saying? Ramban saying like this. He's answering a question in the Mishnah. Mishnah is a difficult Mishnah. Have a zor b'mitzvah kala kevachamura. Everybody knows the member of the Mishnah. So I mean, Shaina tell you them on schar and shel mitzvahs. I mean, what does it mean? If it means that you have to do every mitzvah, okay? So it should have said v'zod mitzvah kal v'chamor. But what does it mean? Shein atayi dem matan scharn shel mitzvos. I mean, what do you mean? We do know matan scharn shel mitzvos. Certain mitzvos are chamor, and certain mitzvos are kal. I mean, that's a fact. Chilul Shabbos is very chamor, and like the Ram mentions, simchas regulus is kal. The person wasn't sameach v'regel. He allowed himself to be disturbed and be involved in his problems. So it's not an avera chamura, not even avera chamura. It's kal. There's no ownership. Not even mentioned ownership in the Torah. So how could the Mishnah say have zohir b'mitzvah kala kavachamura she'ena tiyadei matan shel mitzvahs? It would seem on the surface that's not correct, because mitzvahs do have a matan schar, and there's a mitzvah chamura and there's a mitzvah kala. It would seem to be the statement is self contradictory. Because have zor k mitzvah kala kavachamura, so then there is no mitzvah kala and mitzvah chamura, so they're all the same. But you see, they're not the same. So Ramban gives an amazing answer. The Ramban's answer is that there is, you see, that the whole essence of Yahadus, is really an internal intellectual perfection. That's really the essence of Yahadus. And that's why the Ramban says that when a person buys a mezuzah for one zuz, today I think it's more expensive. Kiakonim mezuzah, especially one ksav beis yosef, is more expensive. Kiakonim mezuzah bezuz echad. V'kovo bepischo, he says. V'nischavein be'inyono, he says. And he thought about the inyan when he did it. He says, then he's hode bechidush olam, yediyas habore, hashgachoso, nevuah, chesed Hashem, the fact that ose ritzono on a certain level, or kola tara kola. But there's one thing that the person has to do. When he buys the mezuzah, and before he's koveya it on his door, he has to be mischavein be'inyana. He He has to think into it. So he's putting Yesod in the Ramban. What does Ramban say? Ramban is saying that in mitzvos, it's today especially, I mean, the style of the way people do mitzvos is the ones that are medakdek in mitzvos. So they're medakdek in every halacha kachut asara. But according to the Ramban, that's not enough. That's necessary because that's the structure of a mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a mitzvah, and every mitzvah is a whole science in itself, a whole world of perfection and ideas and chachma. That's true. But if a person just buys a mezuzah and he makes sure it's perfect halachically, and he fulfills all the halachic requirements, and according to halacha, it's 100% correct as a kiyum mitzvah, he's missing something very important. He wasn't nischavim b'inyono. And the yesod of kol ha-mitzvahs is a shleimus ha-odom, which is an inner shleimus, which emerges from the fact that the yesod de-ados, these ideas, are brought before his mind's eye, and that in that way he's perfected. So Ramban gives a beautiful answer. That's what Ramban says. Ha-vizor b'mitzvah kala k'vachamora. Means it's true there's a mitzvah kala and a mitzvah chamura from the framework of the system. A person with Machal Shabbos desecrates the system. The whole system, he's mevatel the whole system of Torah. The whole Yesod and Kola Torah Kola. That's from the standpoint of the system. Shabbos is chamur and Simchas Yomtev is kala. A person is worse if he's mevatel Shabbos, far, far worse than if he's mevatel Simchas Yontif. Okay, that's true. But in terms of the matan schar, in terms of the whole goal of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is to bring before the person's inner world, his mind, the truth and the ideas of Kol HaYesodos of Kol HaTorah Kula, Simchas Yontif is just as significant. If a person is misameach on yontif with the right idea, so it's the greatest kiyum. That's the whole objective of Kol HaTorah Kula. The objective of Kol HaTorah Kula is the inner perfection. So if a person does mitzvos and he simply does them to fulfill the technical structure of the mitzvah, even though he does it 100%, and even though he has the mitzvah, he is far, far away from the objective of Kol HaTorah Kula. That's what the Ramban says. It's very easy, and it's very easy. The Torah made it very easy for a person to be in contact with that inner perfection, because the mitzvahs are simple. He puts on a mezuzah. Okay? But what the individual has to do is be mischavein b'inyana. Be mischavein b'inyana. If he's mischavein b'inyana, so then he reaches the ultimate goal, which is the shleimus ha'odom that emerges from Torah. So that's what Ramban explains. Havizor b'mitzvah kala k'vachamura. In terms of the system of mitzvahs, there's a system in Torah. And Machal Shabbos is not equal to v'samachta v'chagecha. There's no question about that. But that's because the system is structured in a way that there are certain mitzvahs that are essential, and if a person doesn't keep those, he has no chelik in mitzvahs. But in terms of the gavra, the individual can attain perfection even from a mitzvah kala, a moment in a mitzvah kala, and a realization of the yesod hados, and that moment is the matan schar. A person doesn't know where his matan schar is going to be. That moment he can receive the greatest matan schar. That's what the Ramban is saying. Okay. There's one more thing I want to mention. Ramban says like this. He says, I mentioned last time, the idea that the whole essence of man is that he should recognize that he's a nifra. There are a lot of themes in this Ramban. That he should recognize that he's a nifra. And the he says shebechol adam moda bahen leelokav kavanos kol mitzvos shenamin belokenu v'noda elenu shehu bra'anu v'hi kavanos hayetzira. So ultimately he says, where do these ideas lead? These ideas lead to the reality of man's existence. That he's a nivra and he recognizes his bara. That's the ultimate level of human existence, where he has the reality of his own existence. So the Ramban says the kavanas romamus akol betfilos, the kavanas bote haknei soyos, uzchus tfilos arabin, zehu, sheyiye levnei odom makom sheyiskapsu viyodu lokel shebroam vimtziom viyafarsimu zeh viyomru lefonov briyosecha anachno. Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to mention. The Ramban mentions tfilah over here. I think there's another idea here the reason why he mentions tfilah. Because the Mefarshim asked the question. You take a look in the end of Masechet Kedushin. So the Mishnah says that the Mishnah of Meomer, that a person should teach his son a Melacha Kala Nekiya, and he says Yispalu Mi Shanachasim Shalom. The Mishnah says he should be spalled to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because Ein Lecha Omnes Shein La Sheinim Anias Vashirus. It's not necessarily the omnis that the that's not necessarily the reason. The reason every omnis has ashiris and anias, but ish mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mishan achasim shalom. And then the Mishnah ends off v'akol l'fi aschos. Kol l'fi aschos. So it's interesting. Taisvah says v'akol l'fi aschos means according to mazel. Because the Gemara says in Mayat Katan that Boni Chayim Mazani Lav Bischus Italia Milsa Ela B'Mazlo. So the most important thing, how long a person lives, is not Tali in Schus, Tali in Mazlo. Because two great Amarayim, one of them, both big tzaddikim, one lived to be 40, one lived to be 92. So and Parnas also, Boni Chayim Mazani, three most important things. So the Gemara says it's totally a mazel. So Taisvah says that's what it means. Taisvah says when it says it's all totally in schus, it means mazel. Taisvah says, how can you say schus doesn't mean mazel? But there is a mishnah that uses schus as mazel. Of mezakes beno. So of mezakes beno means that. That a person is born with certain abilities because of his parents. So schus can be mazel. But really, Taisvus himself, when he talks about mazel, Taisvus in Mayit Katan and Taisvus in Shabbos, he raises the question. He says, but the Gemara says, ain mazel Yisrael. So the Gemara says that, you see that Klal Yisrael, and even individuals, the Gemara's case of individuals, are not bound by mazel, by natural law. So Taisvus answers, he says, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. That's what it says. So because the Gemara has a story where a certain Amora had a hard life, and he complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you want me to change over the whole world, that you should be born in a different time? It can't be done. So what Taisa means is that we don't know. Certain things are based upon law, God's law, and we can't do anything about it. But certain things can. We don't know. But zechusim, Taisva says, in my cutting and Shabbos, that zechusim can help a person where there is no unchangeable law. Okay, so what Taisva is bringing out is that our system is not a simple, everybody wants a simple system. But that's, Ma'aseh Hashem is not simple. So Ma'aseh Hashem, certain things are fixed, but then there's an area where the schusim place a person in a realm of Ashgacha. in the realm of Hashgacha. But interesting is the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says V'yispala l'mishan achasim shal. So why does the Mishnah V'yispala? Why does the Mishnah say it's all totally according to Schus? It's all totally according to Schus. So I think what the Ramban is saying over here, the Ramban answers that question. What the Ramban is saying is that the purpose of the whole Yitzira is that we should know that we're Nivroim, that we're Nivroim. And that's tefillah, really. See, tefillah, when a person is Bala El Hashem, what is the underlying framework of his tefillah? The underlying framework of his tefillah is that I am a Nivra. And he relates to our Kadosh Baruch Hu from the framework that he's a Nivra, and because he's a Nivra, he's asking for certain things from the one who is his Borei. You see, it's a different framework of Hashgacha and Tefillah. That's what the Ramban is saying. And that's what I think the Mishnah is saying. Whether Lamech Taisvah Schus means, it doesn't matter whether Lamech Taisvah Schus means the natural law, or Schus means his Schusim, because Taisvah says another place that depends. It depends on what kind of a mazel. Mazel means natural law. But that's one system. There's one system of Schar V'Onesh. That's one system of Hashgacha. But Tefillah is a different vehicle, is a different medium of Hashgacha. Korav HaRashem L'chol, Korav L'chol HaShe'ikru V'Emes, it means it's different. So that's why the Ramban includes this. Agav Orcha from the Ramban, you see this concept. And that's why the Mishnah says it. The Mishnah says, V'yispal L'mishan HaChasim Shalo, and then it says, HaKol L'fis Chusam. It's not a Tata Sasri. Because it means that there are two different realms of Hashgacha. One realm of Hashgacha Hashem is Schar V'Onesh. But there is something else. Korav HaRashem L'chol, Korav L'chol HaShe'ikru V'Emes means that the person recognizes that he's a Nivra and he can turn only to the Borei Olam. That idea and that tefillah brings the individual under a special kind of hashgach. It's a different hashgach. That's why we have a whole institution of tefillah and tzaakah. And if it's just Schar V'Onesh, so then what's this whole tefillah and tzaakah? I mean, Mispal Yom Kippurim, the tefillahs, and all the tefillahs. So the Ramban really answers that question. It's a different, so to speak, a different route, a different vehicle of Hashgacha, to use a term, just to use the term. But that's what Ramban is saying, that the concept of Schar V'Onesh is one system, and Tefillah operates on the idea, on the yesod, that the individual recognizes that he's a Nivra. Recognizes he's a Nivra, and he's Korei El Hashem, it's a different Hashgacha. He brings about a different Hashgacha. It's not the Hashgacha that he would receive were he simply to rely on his Schar V'Onesh. That's what the Ramban said. Okay.
You think that Tefillah allows for miracles or the concept?